I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an interesting show for you this evening, jam-packed with information as usual. And the main theme for tonight's program will be meditation, crime buster of the future, and how that connects to global consciousness and some of the positive and negative effects on global consciousness. And we'll also be looking at some Earth history, as well as connecting with the Extraterrestrial Contact Act. So hope you'll find something of interest in tonight's program. And before we get started, I'd like to give my normal disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It's therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is, and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, care, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. Now, having said that, I'd like to start off this evening talking a little bit about one of the concepts that we mentioned quite a bit on ET Yoga, and that is that thought creates. Or, for other people, they seem to connect more with the idea that belief creates. Or, another way to look at it is that you have to be a frequency match for what you experience. And based on some of the emails I've had recently, I think it bears some further explanation with respect to this whole concept, especially as it relates to the idea of taking 100% responsibility for your external experience. And I know that's a tough one for a lot of people, and I appreciate that in the modern world, it seems we've been trained to give away our power left, right, and center. And we've almost got to the point where people don't even want to take responsibility for anything. They'll turn the responsibility for bringing their children educationally to the educational system. They've turned over all their power to the medical system. Whatever the medical system says goes. They turn their power over to the dentist and to the church for their spirituality. And every time we turn around, we're giving power away, and somebody else is responsible for our well-being. And I'd kind of like to just throw a flip on that whole scenario, because I think the whole idea is to become more self-empowered yourself. And even if you are in a situation where you need expertise from someone that is an expert in another area, that at least you might take that information and still use it in a self-empowering way. And an example would be that if you took your car in, for example, to the mechanic, and the mechanic makes recommendations concerning what things he thinks need to be fixed, you would still use common sense with respect to your budget and the age of your car, and make the final decisions as to what work you might want to have done. Similarly, I do the same thing with respect to the dental and medical profession. People, they can make their assessments or diagnosis, and then I make the final decision concerning what treatment's going to happen. And I know this sometimes ruffles a few feathers. It's kind of shocking to some people that think that they're the ultimate authority, but in my opinion, I'm the ultimate authority when it comes to things that have to do with me. And with respect to this whole concept of taking 100% responsibility, it's very, very important to take responsibility, because that's your point of power. And as Bashar would say, that you need to acknowledge your decisions, and it's the only way really that you can change something is by first acknowledging it and taking responsibility. And responsibility doesn't mean you're to blame. It's those emotional states called blame, criticism, and justification of your circumstances that creates you as a victim. So it's not about blame, it's response hyphen ability. Response ability. You have the ability to respond, and you have the ability to take responsibility for your outer experience. And if you're experiencing things that you don't want or you don't prefer, that's your point of power, because if you created it, you have the power to fix it. If somebody else dumped it on you and you're blaming them for creating it, well, good luck on changing it. So that's the main point there. And I think another great idea to do is to take a pad and paper and pencil and write down different things that you believe about certain areas of your life. Write down what your beliefs actually are. And if you've inherited some beliefs that don't serve you anymore, then make some proper adjustments and dissolve the old beliefs and reinstate new beliefs. And much like you would reprogram a computer, we function much the same way. In fact, the most latest discoveries in quantum physics has shown us that the universe, or the holographic universe, basically functions much the same as a virtual reality computer, and that the energy is consciousness and the language of recognition is belief. Thus, what you believe is. And our beliefs are highly, highly important, and I think another good example of that one, again using a Bashar scenario, someone once asked him, what systems of self-defense with respect to being attacked by outer species or civilizations does your planet employ? And basically, he said that, in a nutshell, we really don't have any, because we don't have the fear thought to attract that situation. And clearly the implication there is that when you're not a frequency match for a certain type of energy, then you're invisible to it. And this is just another practical application of the whole concept that what you perceive, you can't perceive it unless you already have conceived it. It's kind of interesting. It's a paradox of sorts, kind of like the whole idea that there's nothing new under the sun, because we do constantly discover new things to learn. Another paradox. And speaking of paradoxes like that, or old news and new ears, central focus of tonight's program, which is meditation, crime buster of the future. And I know a lot of people about, 40 years ago kind of laughed at that concept. Oh, yeah, right. Meditation is going to have an effect on the crime rate. Yeah, right. Another one of those, tinfoil hat theories. But what we're now seeing is that one of the most powerful discoveries is the meditation effect. And in about 39 different mass meditation experiments, they've proved that a group of as little as 7,000 people can reduce terrorism, war, and fatalities worldwide by 72%. Now, isn't that an amazing, amazing finding? And I'm going to go back a little bit here because when I say it's kind of old news, but on new ears, in about 1974, actually, I wrote an article called Crime Buster of the Future, and it was published in the Winnipeg Free Press, which is the main daily in Winnipeg, Manitoba, or at least was at that time, and it was actually came with huge, bold headlines and took up the one entire page in the Winnipeg Free Press. And actually, the concept was even picked up by one of the political parties at that time called the Liberals, and made it to one of their conventions, went through some committees, and kept getting passed, but eventually got sidelined someplace. And so here we are again, about 40 years later, and I'm bringing up the same topic, meditation, crime buster of the future. And why would I want to bring that up now? Well, you know, when I was doing preparation for this show this evening, I learned a new word, and that word is louche. Louche, L-O-O-S-H. Interesting. And I don't know how many of my friends would know what louche was, but apparently that's the term used by the dark cabal to describe the fear energy that negative ETs feed on. Louche. Interesting, interesting stuff. Fear being on one hand and a positive energy of meditation on the other. Quite the combination in our present world. Now, as I said, ironically, this headline, Meditation, Crime Buster of the Future, appeared in the 70s in the Winnipeg Free Press, and a full-page article accompanied it. And the effect of meditation has been proven over and over again over the last 40 years, but because enough of us don't quite get it, it's not been implemented. It is actually scientifically called the Maharishi effect. And there is a direct relationship between the number of people who meditate and the crime rate. So clearly, if you want a more peaceful world, then meditate daily. If you don't know how, please go to www.etyoga.com and get the article called Techniques. It includes information about how to meditate with yantras and mantras, as taught by the great Swami Satchidananda. And in addition, this article also has other techniques to activate your DNA and provides a complete course in yoga pranayamas or breathing program. And for those interested in ascension, the Merkaba technique is also there. And for those interested in consciousness expansion, there's the XYZ or extraterrestrial meditation. And that one, by the way, is played at the end of all the ET yoga radio broadcasts, at least of the new version, and it will be played this evening. And that article also includes the Pleiadian Pillar of Light and spinning techniques, which, to my way of thinking, you know, people asked for a system that worked, and that's what the Pleiadians offered. And amazing, powerful techniques, and I highly, highly recommend them. Now, it's been scientifically proven over the years that the inner world reflects in the outer world. And we now know that our inner definitions, beliefs, emotions, and intentions created the outer experience. And it is a perfect reflection based on our own thoughts. And this is one of the main areas of information passed to us from positive ETs. And further, we have a collective consciousness that is also based on the exact same formula. One of the obvious examples of this concept is actually shown by the master dog trainer Cesar Millan, who teaches dog owners that the behavior of the dog is the reflection of their emotional state. Dogs pick up instantly our every emotion, and it is by creating a new positive direction that change takes place. It doesn't come about by blame, complaint, and justification of our circumstances, which is all rooted to victimhood mentality. And you don't get peace by hating war, you get peace by loving peace. And going against the negative only serves to perpetuate its existence, which is not the primary intention. And if enough people put out a positive vibration, there can be enormous changes in the experiential reality. In point of fact, the sphere energy that these negative ETs feed on, which is called Lush in the Cabal, one insider told David Wilcock, "My God, do you have any idea how much Lush was created by all the people who thought the planet would be destroyed in 2012? And David was told that the grip the negative has on the planet could be utterly destroyed forever in a single day if enough people on Earth felt simple happiness and gratitude for one day. The negative would suffer so much energy loss that it would be forced to leave." Now, that's pretty powerful stuff. And no doubt there's such an interest in what people think, trying to get everybody addicted to television, putting their spin on local news, and basically controlling the millions and millions of people on the planet, and also giving them their daily injection of fear. Now, probably soon we'll get a confirmation from scientists that the spin you put on outer circumstances determines the experience, which we've talked about at length on ET Yoga, but I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. But it has been scientifically proven that the neural center in the heart is 100 times more powerful electrically than the brain, and has 5,000 times the power of the brain magnetically. And it is the brain and the heart that emits a frequency about 10 feet from the physical body and also interfaces with the morphogenetic field that determines your reality. And that's why Bashar Essassani, ET, tells us that outer circumstances don't matter, only state of being matters. Positive state of being creates and changes your physical structure. Positive state of being also creates its reflection in the outer world. And if you want to be in joy, then imagine in your mind's eye how a person in joy would behave, and then mimic the behavior in the outer world. And you can do this. Just like in the 70s, when it became apparent to many that other people can't make you angry, you can have the awareness to determine or choose if you wish to be angry or not. And this is just a higher level of the same principle. And when I was making reference to that soon we'll probably get confirmation from scientists that the spin you put on outer circumstances determines the experience, this is very close to what is taught in the quantum physics level concerning expectation in relation to the results of scientific experimentation. The results follow the beliefs and expectations of the person doing the experiment, because that's how the universe works. No outer circumstance comes with built-in meaning. And like the way the spin is put on the news by mainstream media or the fear that is constantly being shoved in your face, every outer circumstance is inherently neutral, and we put an emotional spin on it, and that determines our experience of it. It is also why the primary function of the rational mind is to place a positive spin on outer circumstances, so we get a positive experience. No event is one-sided, and we always have a choice. It's like you cannot have a coin without two sides, and similarly with experiences. Now, the more people on this planet that choose to view all the outer circumstances as positive will directly relate to the amount of drastic awakening we need to experience. In my opinion, we are currently involved with overlapping timelines, and like choosing television channels, we can attract ourselves without changing others to a frequency or timeline where there are the versions of others with thoughts similar to our own. There are an infinite number of coexisting realities out there, and we choose the one we prefer and primarily by our emotions. By the way, all disease is caused by dysfunctional emotions and a judgment of a neutral circumstance in a negative way. The emotions of unconditional love, gratitude, and compassion are the antidote to disease. And it's also been brought to my attention that the emotion of gratitude also creates perfect heart-brain synchronicity, which is a very important factor in respect to reality creation. And as I've mentioned before on ET Yoga, it's my opinion that the first stage of reality creation or reality creation is the idea of the expression of your own beliefs that you in creating your own reality. And the second level there would be placing positive spin on outer circumstance to create positive reality. And the third level would be through the power of intention. And interesting to note that gratitude plays such an important part in creating the optimum situation for us to do reality creation. And for a great example of that, I would refer the listeners to Greg Braden, Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. The video is absolutely amazing, shows the power of heart-brain coherence, and also the expression of emotion in relation to the concept that the event has already happened. And this is in line with the idea of dealing with the intelligence field, which does not perceive the past or future. It's always in the now. And I would further suggest the reader go to, or listeners in this case on a radio show, that you go to The Ultimate Truths of Reality at the College of Christ Consciousness, and that can be found on your computer. Again, that's College of Christ Consciousness, and there's a listing there of The Ultimate Truths of Reality. And most of those relate specifically around the ideas of beliefs. And these are the specific truths about the laws that govern existence in the universe, and they're very practical in nature. And all of these truths are what, in my opinion, Jesus really taught 2,000 years ago, and what Bashar teaches today, and what the College of Christ Consciousness teaches today, and it's all the same stuff. From the ETs, Christ, and the secret teachings that have been kept in the mystery schools, they all concur. And this is without religion, by the way. I refer the reader and listeners to the article at the website entitled at ET Yoga, which is called Why Spirituality Over Religion. And all positive ETs have a name for God, like Prime Creator or All That Is. And in the old days, Swami Satchitananda would say, as many minds, as many gods, because the finite mind is not capable of defining the infinite. And what we most want to describe, there aren't any words for, it must be experienced. And when you take a cup to the ocean takes the shape of the cup. And similarly, when you take the mind to the prime creator, it takes the shape of your mind. And we're soon approaching some major changes in our world, and you should rejoice at many of these changes, as knowingly or not, many of these old programs have served to keep humanity in bondage. And in some way, this truly is a prison planet. But getting a diploma from Earth is one of the highest in the universe, and we have chosen to dive deep into the dark, and we have gone so deep that most of us don't have any connection with our higher self, and many don't even know we have a higher self. So our total persona is actually higher self at the top, and it exists just outside the time-space continuum. Then the higher self is the creator of all ideas. The mind is the receiver of ideas, and the physical brain is the perceiver of ideas. And as Bashar's rubber band analogy demonstrates, we have the capacity to leap forward like a pulled back rubber band into the light. So, to make a difference in your reality, start from feeling good, not in fear. All fear is illusory and not in alignment with your higher self. Meditate every day. Put a positive spin on outer circumstances. Be analytical, but not judgmental. Choose the emotion of joy. Get off meat, exercise, drink pure water, visualize, and for accelerated growth, do the Pleiadian pillar of light and spinning techniques. And, of course, I'm a bit prejudiced because I truly believe you can learn quite a bit of fresh information just by going through all the articles at the website at ETYoga. And if you look to enhance on the information here, you can find tons of related information in the ebooks. And the name of the site actually is called Healing the Known and the Unknown. One very, very interesting article there is called Miraculous Cures. And probably worth a look for a lot of people that have health issues. And I even have their, and I love my ET Yoga t-shirt and its logo. And it's also sold at Zazzle, but you can get it from the website at ET Yoga. And the idea being that yoga means union of you and your higher self. And thus the ETs are advanced yogis, by teaching us how to be more self-empowered and connecting with our higher selves. And this is how the term ET Yoga was derived. And my personal background has been with three of the greatest yogis ever, in Sri Ramana Maharshi, Paramahansa Yogananda, and Sri Swami Satchidananda. And I find the positive ETs enhance the yogic teachings, especially in the area of self-empowerment. And I would highly recommend, like as I say, I'm highly prejudiced, highly recommend my website. Now, continuing on with this idea of Lush, it's another term for the life force or emotional energy. And the term was coined by Robert Monroe in his astral voyages, where upon interacting with non-physical entities, he learned that this energy was called Lush, and that mankind was being farmed for this energy. And studies have shown that a number of people, like 11% of the population in a city, can meditate on peace and reduce crime. And this experiment was laughed at by local police until they witnessed the effects themselves. And it has since been documented in several police journals. And David Hawkins, in Power versus Force, collaborates that people's emotions he rates them actually too, from 20 to 1,000, and 20 is shame and proximate to death and making us very prone to physical illness. And at the other end, ranging from 700 to 1,000, is enlightenment. And it is estimated to be the level of Krishna, Buddha, and Jesus. Now, he explains that all the levels below 200 are energy draining, and this would include guilt at 30, grief at 25, fear at 100, pride 175, and those meditators who change the emotional state of a city, we're focused on peace. And level 600, peace, is believed to counterbalance 10 million individuals below 200. And the Maharishi effect establishes the principle that individual consciousness affects collective consciousness. And one of my favorite Bashar sayings is that just by being here, you are already making the optimum difference in this world. And it's when you follow your passion that other people become aware of the difference you are already making. Now, of course, the people feeding off negative emotions want to control the people and keep them in a state of fear. And primarily, this first came to my attention back in the 1980s with the book Bringers of the Dawn by Barbara Marciniak. And she kind of calls the reptilians the Lizzies and explains about them feeding off of our negative energies. And they love to coax you into those feelings by subtle means, such as television. And they care very much about what you think. And they, of course, they love to create the problem, wait for the reaction, and then provide the solution, which, under the guise of protection, actually produces a worse condition, laden with more fear and abuse. And the relationship between mind or intent and the physical world is clear. And, of course, one form is that we have an idea, like to build a car, and then we build it, but we're talking about a more direct effect. And what they've discovered is that randomness becomes orderly in an environment of mental coherence, like a group of meditators. And according to the Global Oneness Project, they're currently now they have 70 generators monitoring randomness around the world. And randomness went away and changed to orderly with the occurrence, let's say, of 9/11. And what psychics and mystics have always known, science is beginning to understand that we are all made up of energetic vibrations and that the energy of any individual can communicate and interact with the energy of others and of the universe itself. And this is a very powerful idea. And with regards to some of this reptilian influence, and how it's currently utilized, I think relates to what I kind of put together with what I call the abridged version of Earth history. And it kind of goes like this, that about 100 million years ago, a group of souls called the Founders, originating in the systems of Lyra and Vega, and later the Pleiades, came to Earth to explore what it would be like in third density. And they created a DNA blueprint for a humanoid form and populated the galaxy with similar experiments. They tried on and off for about 90 million years to live in 3D, but it was extremely difficult to lower their vibrations enough to be able to inhabit 3D bodies. And these bodies began as single-cell amoeba and gradually evolved into primates and humanoids. And the Lyrans tried to embody many times, but were unsuccessful in holding their high vibrations in these primitive humanoid forms. And finally, about 10 million years ago, the Lyrans, Pleiadians, Vegans successfully incarnated a male-female pair, and that's known as Adam and Eve. And they were 70 beings living in 3D bodies. They were 7D, as in seventh-dimensional beings living in 3D bodies. And as time went on, they became enmeshed in the 3D form and forgot their 7D heritage. And this is known as the fall from grace. And they learned of the knowledge of good and evil, or duality, through identifying with 3D. And the apple is symbolic of taking on the energy of the lower densities. And after about 10 million BC, the Lyran, Pleiadian, Vegan couple and their offspring became known as the Adamic race. And during this period, from about 10 million to about 500,000 BC, several ET factions from various star systems attempted to take over the Earth. And in about, about 500,000 BC, the Orions successfully interbred with the Adamic races and diluted the consciousness of the originally peaceful and loving people. And they infused their warrior-like, aggressive, competitive nature into the people of the Earth. The negative Orions have been visiting here for over 500,000 years off and on, and even though Rigel has evolved significantly over that time, the negative factions from that system are still the dominant dark force on Earth. And the Draconians, also known as the Reptilians, they're a minority of the so-called dark forces on Earth, but they originated in the Alpha Draconis system. And regarding the enslavement of humanity by the Orions over the past 500,000 years, the Orions have been the number one group controlling humans. And nearly 80% of humanity has Orion genetic strains. The other cohorts are the Sirians, Reptilians, and Greys from various star systems, including the Zeta Reticuli. Now, according to Bashar, actually the Greys are more interdimensional than extraterrestrial and actually sort of represent a future version of humans. And nice to know that the time of rulership by these factions is coming to a close. And in my opinion, mostly due to what I would call divine intervention. And I'm very, very hopeful that this whole process, we're starting to see the effects actually occurring. Because this universe was created as a free will universe, this planet in particular as a free will planet, which kind of connects us over into this whole idea of extraterrestrials and extraterrestrial contact, and what's specifically known as the Extraterrestrial Contact Act. Now, to kind of lay a background for what the act is, I want to share with you some information from Daryl Anka. Now, Daryl is the person that channels Bashar, and actually I worked on a committee with Daryl, actually on the request of Bashar, that some people get together and put together the Extraterrestrial Contact Act to show interest in making contact with peaceful extraterrestrial races. And I don't mind telling you that while I was chairing this committee, there's some pretty interesting stuff came up. And I would like to share just a couple of my perspectives around this concept. First off, if you can imagine trying to write a bill for a topic when, for example, extraterrestrials haven't actually been proven yet. Now, despite what people may know, the fact is that in the public eye, there still has not been an official first contact scenario. And let us assume that that's going to happen at some point. Now, if I had to put a time frame on that point, using Bashar's information that he thinks by 2033 that the Earth will be a member of the Association of Worlds, and we're already in 2014, somewhere in the next 19 years, not only are we going to be a member, but there's going to be a first contact scenario. And when we first started writing this bill, you can imagine the foothold that we got into the subject to even present it as a bill, because, as I said, extraterrestrials don't really exist, so somebody could just look at this and say, well, look, this doesn't, you know, ETs don't exist, so what's this bill about? But the fact is that there's already an extraterrestrial act in place, and very punitive, by the way, with all kinds of negative consequences for interacting with extraterrestrials. So I'm going to share with you some information from Daryl that kind of lays the footing for the whole concept of the Extraterrestrial Contact Act. And as he states, that the universe, as far as we know, is infinite. And our Milky Way galaxy alone contains over 200 billion stars, many of which may have planets. And most people today, including scientists and the general public alike, believe that life must exist elsewhere in the universe. And many believe that some planets may even harbor intelligent life. If only 1% of the stars in our own galaxy have planets, and if only 1% of those planets can support life, and if only 1% of those life-bearing worlds developed intelligent life, and if only 1% of intelligent aliens developed the technology to send a signal or to travel to other stars, then there could be, well, thousands of extraterrestrial civilizations in our galaxy alone. And that might have the ability to contact Earth. And there are well over 100 billion galaxies that we know of in the universe, each composed of hundreds of billions of stars. So many people believe that even if the number of space-faring civilizations is high, that in the that the distance between the stars is too great for anyone to travel from their world to ours, and that signals might be the only form of contact. However, there are now a number of new scientific theories that indicate this may not be true. Many physicists now believe it's possible that wormholes, quantum tunneling, and folding space may, with a sufficiently advanced technology, provide us methods by which beings from one solar system could conceivably provide methods by which beings from one solar system could conceivably travel to another system in a very short period of time. So the question isn't, can they get here anymore? It's, if they get here, what do we do about it? What if one day Earth was contacted by one of these hypothetical civilizations? How, as a planet, would we respond to their offer to interact? And what if they asked, do you have a method in place or even a policy that outlines how Earth will proceed now that contact has happened? And we would have to answer no. So many people believe that if we are now asking this question ourselves, then it's time to provide an answer. And we believe that the Extraterrestrial Contact Act is that answer. The Extraterrestrial Contact Act is a bill that, when enacted into law, will establish a contact protocol to allow public interaction with extraterrestrial intelligence that may make or express a desire to make peaceful contact with the people of Earth. And such a meeting would be so momentous and the impact upon our world so powerful that even if the probability of extraterrestrial contact is remote, we should nevertheless have at least a basic plan in place so that humanity has the ability to respond appropriately to an event of this magnitude. And what would the consequences be if we were unprepared for such an event? What opportunities for learning and advancement might be missed? If such an event doesn't occur in our lifetime, well, this first simple step in exopolitical diplomacy will benefit future generations by providing a foundation they can build upon as our global society slowly but inevitably matures into an interstellar civilization. The Extraterrestrial Contact Act is also an organization dedicated to the promotion and adoption of this policy in all nations on the Earth. And we invite the citizens of every nation on Earth to participate and support this historic cause, not only through donations, volunteering, and also media promotion, but also by inspiring each and every respective government to implement the contact protocol outlined in the Act and thus join with the United States in laying the foundation for future contact with extraterrestrial intelligence. And what may be science fiction today could be science fact tomorrow. And that's a letter from by Daryl Anka, who is the executive director of the ECA, or the Extraterrestrial Contact Act organization. Now, interestingly enough, we did have some input later on in the development of writing the final version of the act from some people in the disclosure groups. And not to be too negative, but there was clearly a difference in philosophy with respect to the members of our committee and some of that influence. And I personally would classify that in the area of them being a little pushy. Okay, and as far as the Extraterrestrial Contact Act is concerned, we're not interested in disclosure. Personally, from my own point of view, I may have some opinions concerning contact that's already happened, but I'm not interested in bringing up the can of worms. First off, in my opinion, pretty much most of the contact's been with negative ETs anyway, and I don't really need to hear about it. What I'm interested in is bygones be bygones, but here's a protocol so that the public can be involved with an open extraterrestrial contact and moving forward in a positive light with respect to some basic ideas that should be implemented. And I would like to share with you what I think are some of those basic protocols that should be enacted that were actually part of the bill. And the bill actually, you can look up on your computer, Extraterrestrial Contact Act, for the entire bill. But I just want to outline some of the what I think are really important points in the protocol area. And number one is to make every reasonable effort to establish contact with the extraterrestrial intelligence and to confirm in a timely manner their peaceful intentions and that such intelligence poses no biological danger or other unintended threat to harm the Earth or its people. Second, upon confirmation of the extraterrestrial's peaceful intentions and absence of biological or other danger, threat, or harm, immediately order the stand down and cessation of all military, agency, departmental, public, corporate, or private activities that might be reasonably interpreted by the extraterrestrials as a refusal of contact or a threat to the extraterrestrial's safety and security. Three, to immediately inform the leaders of all other nations, the representatives of the United Nations, NASA, SETI, and the ECA, via the organization's executive director, of the existence and nature of the extraterrestrial contact, and to include the above individuals and organizations in any discussions with respect to the contact, for all the public and make all public announcements revealing the extraterrestrial's existence or nature to the public. Fourth, within 24 hours thereafter, make a globally televised public announcement of the existence and nature of the extraterrestrial contact. And five, immediately schedule and facilitate a globally televised interaction between the extraterrestrial's intelligence, the president, the representatives of the United Nations, NASA, SETI, and the ECA, in order to freely negotiate, establish, coordinate, and conduct a protocol for peaceful, continuing, global, and mutually beneficial relations with the extraterrestrial intelligence and its respective society. And lastly, upon establishment of contact and interaction with any extraterrestrial intelligence, the ECA shall, one, Create reports containing all the details of contact and the progress of the interaction with the extraterrestrial intelligence, if any, not later than 90 days after the initiation of such contact and every 6 months thereafter for the duration of the interaction. And second, make these reports a matter of public record and available to the public upon request for a reasonable fee to cover the costs of duplication, mailing, online services, and other reasonable charges. And lastly, to announce the progress of the interaction, if any, to the public every 6 months via televised and website posted reports. So you can see that the whole idea there and intention is clearly to get the public involved in knowing what's the nature of the interaction with the extraterrestrials, and that it's clearly communicated to everyone. And certainly climates change, and it may be that in the present climate, this bill may not be passed at the current time. But, you know, times do change. I'm also aware of one of Bashar's statements that between the years 2014 and 2017, he states that there will be some incidents occur. He's not saying what type of incidents, but that some incidents would occur that would make it a fact about extraterrestrial presence. So the proof's in the pudding. Let's see if in this next three-year period we do have an established fact about ETs. In fact, I was noticing some of the reports from the latest UFO Congress, and Kerry Cassidy from Project Camelot was there and was stated that they even had some discussions there concerning whether or not ETs exist. Kind of a step, I'd say a leap backwards with respect to thinking, especially for a group of UFO enthusiasts. Kind of a sad state of affairs, I would say, because I think more and more people are becoming more and more of the opinion that, yes, we are being visited by extraterrestrials, and a variety of different types of extraterrestrials, not to mention the state of technology among humans in this area of flying craft. However, what I wanted to share with everyone this evening was that there is an Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act, and it's making its way through the progress of things happening at the right place at the right time. And somewhere down the line, I would hope that this bill does get put into place in all the countries and at the United Nations, because it's definitely the type of thing that should happen, and there should be a protocol, and there should be clearly an agency of the public, not just military, because it would seem to be obvious that some militaries would just want to keep everything secret and kind of use this as motivation to acquire certain technologies, and who knows what kind of deals would be made. So that's the whole idea. I wanted to share that because we spent a lot of time coming up with the wording in the particular act, and as I said, you can go on Google search Extraterrestrial Contact Act and actually see the entire bill. Parts of it might be a little bit boring to do on the air and also time-consuming. So in kind of summary, of some of the topics we talked about this evening. Clearly, meditation, we can all do our part and do our daily meditations to help the frequency on the planet. And we've seen lots of scientific proof that this is effective and a very positive impact on the global consciousness. And I've always, in my own mind, thought that the same way that we create our outer experience, that collectively as a planet, as a population, we also create our own experiences. And the good news there is that the higher the frequency, it doesn't take the same amount of numbers to make the impact. In other words, you know, a million or 100,000 meditators can make up for 50 million people. So it's interesting how that spiritual energy is unifying and it's accumulative, where the negative energy is an isolated energy and clearly less powerful. So, and we're also seeing groups such as the Children of the Sun. If you haven't tuned in about some of their information, they do have monthly group meditations, sometimes in specific areas of topic. For example, I did participate in a group meditation sending positive energy to Syria. We've also sent energy to the Fukushima situation. And I think we can all join together in group meditations to certainly make an impact on the global consciousness. And, of course, that's for people who can understand this relationship between thought and belief and what we see in the external world, because it's clearly there if you want to do the work and if you really want to find out about it. And I've often challenged people on many occasions to write down in a notebook and log when you view something as being negative and place an emotional spin on it that's very positive. And even if you can't see any possible way that something good can come from it, just say that. Like, I'm going to muster up as much positive emotion as I can, throw a positive spin on this situation, and I just can't wait to find out what possible good could come from it. So that's a technique that once you catch on to it, it's very powerful, because the spin you put on outer circumstances creates the experience you'll have from it. And it really is a form of reality creation. And I'd like to also remind people that at etyoga.com, my new book's out, ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. It's not like the format of regular books. It's basically about 65 different topics. I'm not going to go through the list of the topics, but a lot of them would be of quite a lot of interest to people. And also the article on miraculous cures is in the book. And also at the website, of course, for those that really like the XYZ, extraterrestrial meditation, that's also available on the website, so you can have your own version and do it on your own time. And I'd like to always conclude on the ET Yoga shows with wishing you the very best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I believe it's now about that time when I'll share with you now the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation from Bashar.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world, and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then, imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you out the front all the way to infinity, but it returns even faster now out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down. Clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension. A new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. and now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is, and as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.